Silly of me to think that you could ever really want me to. How I love you. You are just the love.
What's going on, y'all? We vibing. Gospel Entertainment in here early. Let's get the King Algin on the line. Just vibe out. Come on, this is Miss All Hits. She gonna be on later on the rock out. That's silly. What's up, bro?
Yo, what up, man?
Hey, man, that is the cool soundings right there, man, of Miss Terrell Hicks. That's going to be coming on the show later on tonight, man.
Nice. What?
Oh, my God. My sound effects is acting up. See, this is what I'm talking about. Food
of the sound effects. Adam, what up?
Food to the sound effects. They always do this when I'm trying to start my live.
Right.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Black Culture, The Breakdown. I am your boy, Jersey, and we got the king, Mr. Algin McCullum from Gospel Artist Entertainment on the live with us. What's going on, bro?
What up, man? I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm great, man. I feel like I haven't spoken to you in a little minute, but I only just spoke to you the other day, on last week, right?
Yeah, it was last week. What's today? Sunday? So about five days ago, I want to say.
That's actually crazy. Well, you know, but it's just been a crazy week, and I hope everyone's been able to adjust at home. How we all at home, everybody? Drop in the comments how we feeling on this Sunday. And definitely keep the vibes going. But, bro, we have quite a few things to talk about. We have a super interesting show. You know, we got you on here. And right now we have my sound effects not working. but, you know, I want to kind of get into some serious topics, bro. Let's kind of get into the word of the day. You know, I wanted to talk about my testimony. I put this tweet up that said, your testimony will be that you felt discouraged, unorganized, and hurt, but you never gave up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now, talk to us about, you know, that testimony and how that resonates with you and something that you want to kind of give the audience for the week to kind of stay with.
Well, first of all, let me say this. So everybody have been in a situation where they wanted to give up or just quit and, you know, just wanted to just like, you know, be done with everything, regardless of what career they're trying to pursue. Or, you know, it's a lot. So when it comes down to me personally, I can definitely, you know, tell everybody about or show everybody my side of the story. It's been many times where I wanted to give up. And even building, you know, my brand, Gospel Artist Entertainment, it has been really, you know, it has been really challenging building this specific type of brand, because when people see Gospel Artist Entertainment, they ignore entertainment. Hmm. And they only focus on just the gospel part, you know? And so they automatically assume and feel like, oh, well, this should only be about gospel, which it revolves around gospel, but it's, you know, you have entertainment in it. And so we're also giving you entertainment. So I've had people to, you know, when I first started this, I had people to just come at me left and right talking about how they didn't like the name or they didn't want, you know, they don't feel like that this should be represented in this way or that way. And it almost caused me to just want to give up on what I was doing, because it was just like, you know, it was like left and right. It was like if one person ain't satisfied, then another person is not satisfied. So that's like one of the situations where I've encountered where I literally just wanted to just like throw in the towel and give up. And so there are people out there who have incredible brands or incredible businesses or incredible ideas or careers that they're trying to pursue. But because of this being in their ear, it causes them to want to just quit and give up. So that's what I have on that. I mean, you know, there are times where, you know, people feel like giving up is a bad thing, or, you know, sometimes things will happen that will allow you to give up just so that something else can happen that's better than what you was trying to pursue. Boy, if that makes sense.
Of course, bro. Of course it makes every bit of sense, man.
Yeah.
You know, bringing it back to your brand, you said that they disregard, you know, the entertainment and they focus so much on the heavy emphasis on the gospel. But now, in terms of now ironing out, how do you kind of get it back together to be like, all right, I'm feeling discouraged in this situation. And this is what everyone's nitpicking at, but I still understand what I'm true to and I know what I'm trying to get to. So how do you pull yourself out of that to kind of just keep yourself focused?
Knowing what my purpose is for building this brand. Because I feel like a lot of times we get in situations where it causes us to want to give up just by listening to what men have to say. But if you know your purpose of building whatever it is that you're building, then that should be your main focus. You know, that should be your main focus, is knowing what you are doing, who you're doing it for, why you're doing it. So that's what I had to look at. So when it comes down to that, I had to look at, okay, am I doing this to please, you know, man out there, or am I doing this to please God and also to build up my brand and my company and that God has blessed me with, you know? So when it comes down to that, it's just like, you have to know your purpose. So that's what I have on that, man.
Come on, that's a whole fact, man. And that's, again, the testimony will be that I felt discouraged, unorganized, and hurt, but I never...
Yeah, man.
Make sure you guys keep that, Algin. That was, a super dope breakdown, and you brought it back to even how it relates to your brand. So appreciate you even keeping it real and just sharing that with us, man. Jumping into the next topic, bro. Versus was canceled.
Oh my God! Let me tell you. Now, I honestly was expecting.
What was it?
Watch the Versus.
Oh no, we trying to get.
Expecting to watch the Versus between Ashanti and Keisha Cole. Uh-uh. I ain't gonna lie. I was wanting to know how they was gonna do it, but unfortunately, when we found out that, you know, Ashanti had have COVID, it was just like, okay. And I think what they were trying to do is they was trying to have them in the same room, but Ashanti said she's willing to do it from her home. Yeah. Which I thought would have been cool. So I think they still could have pulled the Versus off. But the whole thing was canceled because I think because of the, you know, the past few Versus, they were having, like, the two artists in the same room. So that I guess they didn't want to have a Teddy Riley and Babyface situation. They didn't want...
But you know what? In terms of what they did, I think that was really small. But what a coincidence, though, that the day of, what's going on, Morgan J? Morgan J's in the building. He'll be on a little bit later.
What's up?
What you call it? In terms of the coincidence, what is the odds that it would happen the day of the Versus battle? You understand what I'm trying to say? It just seems like such a crazy coincidence. But she wanted to do it from her home, but the fans and Keisha wanted to still do it in the same room, so they could be able to enjoy their roses and stuff. Did you agree with that, or you felt like they should just still did it for the peoples in the crib?
So I understand, because I personally, like I said, that would have been better to have both of them in the same room. They go live from the Versus page and they do their thing, you know? So I think that would have been better. But at the same time, if this is a highly anticipated Versus, I think that they could have still pulled it off with Ashanti being in her home and Keisha Cole being in her home, you know. But I understand they want to get that. When it comes down to Versus, it's, you know, it's almost like you're there at the concert, or you're there with them when both of them is in the same room. So when
yes,
there you go, yes. So when it comes down to that, I think it's just better to be in the same room because everybody get to enjoy that experience. I think it's a little bit different, if one person is in one area, the other person is in the other area, which it started off like that with verses. But then I don't know who came up with the idea of having them in the same room together, but I thought that was genius. However, on the flip side, if it's to protect them from, getting any illnesses like COVID or whatever, if it's to protect them, by all means, do what you need to do, you know? So at the end of the day, our health is more important than a versus.
Absolutely. That's a
good because, and I'm going to tell you how. I'm going to tell you why. The reason why is because if we're not in good health, we can't have a versus.
Come on now.
Yes. See?
Come on now. He's having... If you don't have good health, you can't do anything. You can't go to Christmas.
Can't do it.
You can't go to Versus. You can't even watch Versus without good health. Right?
Yes. Right.
James, this is actually, a PSA. I advise everyone watching the live right now, please mask up. You know, if you guys are going out, I know everybody's kind of like over the mask situation, but the cases are not going down. And, for Ashanti, who's a megastar and, that has, all types of parameters around her.
Right.
Catch COVID, and for her to be sick and she can't even be in a situation to even be in a versus that she's messing up her bag, okay? that anybody can get COVID, so make sure y'all
right.
Asking up. All right, everybody?
Yeah. Exactly.
Algin, man, you came in here and gave us everything, bro. Talk to what's going on in gospel. Anything going on in gospel that we should talk before we close out?
Absolutely. So, of course, the big story right now
Okay. Is
Kiara Scheer getting married. Kiara Scheer did get married to Jordan Kelly. So now she is Kiara Scheer Kelly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
shout out to Kiara Scheer for getting married and stepping into that marriage. So listen, I'm all about love. You find love. Hey, that's what it's all about. So I'm excited about that. Now, of course, there were some other guys in the industry, that were a little upset because it wasn't them. But Kiara chose who she wanted to be with, and I think she did great.
Hold on 1 second. You said they was upset. They was upset.
I think they was upset. Some of them, but Kiara, she did phenomenal. She did. I think they are a great couple. I support them. They look good together. So huge shout out. Yes. Congratulations to Kiara and Jordan. I think they're going to last for a very, very, very long time. You can tell they're happily in love. She supports him. He supports her. And that's all that matters. And then, of course, her parents, they're excited. So if you win the parents, you're in.
That's it. That's a whole fact.
Yes. Yeah.
Man, thanks for coming on here, man, and giving us everything gospel, bro, and entertainment. You know what I'm saying? So appreciate you coming in and giving us a culture church. Hey, everybody, this is Algin McCullough from Gospel Artist Entertainment. Everybody, what's going on with you, man, and where we can find you?
Yes, so, of course, there are a couple of things that we're going to be doing in the works for 2021. Y'all will hear about that really, really soon. But you can go and follow me on my personal page on Instagram, of course, at Algin McCullough. And then also you can follow my company page, Gospel Artist Entertainment. You're going to get everything besides just gospel, just FYI. So that's the reason why it has entertainment in there, We love Jesus, but we're also going to give you entertainment too, okay?
Clap it up for Jesus. Can we clap it up for Jesus?
Yes.
And through Jesus, everything is possible, including entertainment.
That's right.
Thanks, Algin. We're going to see you next week. You guys, this is the semi-finale of Black Culture, the Breakdown, and next week is going to be the finale, and I'm excited. Bro, I hope we're going to see you in the comments, and if not, I'll see you next week, bro.
Dope. Appreciate it, man.
All right, bro. Let's talk soon.
All right.
All right, y'all. So that was Mr. Algin McCullough from Gospel Artist Entertainment. Clap it up, y'all. Come on. He gives us everything that we need to know about the gospel church. I see people are calling in. We don't do those.
No.
All right? This is a set show. There is no call-ins. Please retract your request. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Now, we're going to actually jump on live with my homie, Mr. Creator X. X, are you in the building? Are you ready to get this culture news popping? All right? Hold on a second. What's up, bro?
Yo.
Okay, XAB's on giving us the coach news.
Yes.
It's good, Broski.
It's good, bro. And getting everything together, man. Welcome back to Black Coach. The breakdown, you know the deal.
You already know.
So much going on in entertainment, bro. We got a super dope show lineup, but got to talk about what's going on in entertainment. Starting with the Verses being postponed. All right?
Right.
Touched on that real quick with Aldrin just now. But, you know, I wanted to kind of give the full breakdown of that story. Break down to us what is going on with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. Ashanti caught COVID. And that's where we at. So they postponed it to January 19th. And then December 19th, we have Too Short versus E-40. So that is looking... Excuse me?
They dropped that?
Yeah.
I'm delayed. Okay.
December 19th.
E-40 and who? Too Short?
E-40 and Too Short will be going head-to-head in a versus battle. So... Okay.
How you feeling? Drop in the comments below if we're excited about E-40 and Too Short. All right? How are you feeling about that, X?
I think that's amazing. I mean, we didn't bend all over the map. We went to Atlanta.
Yeah.
We went to New York. We had West Coast versus East Coast with Snoop Dogg and DMX. So I think it's finally time that the South got some love. So
definitely.
We have a Florida's finest going at it, so. Okay. I think it's super dope. I think it's going to be really, really dope.
Yes, yes, yes. By the way, shout out to my team for getting these sound effects back together. Appreciate you. I see everybody's clapping and stuff in the air. Everybody's saying, what's up, X? How we feeling? Rick, X, and what you call it, good for the culture, Mr. Corey Goss. Is definitely.
Well, Too Short. Well, let me not say the South. It's going to be that, what you call it. It's like the South of Cali.
Gotcha.
That way, not the South, but the South of Cali.
All right. So jumping into a kind of like, you know, a conversation that we touched on earlier about hip hop being under attack, right? You know, I want to jump into a conversation of, you know, of a confrontation between Academics, Meek Mills, Tory Lanez, and I think 21 Savage, if I'm not mistaken. Did you get a chance to see that interview?
I didn't see the interview. I saw the Clubhouse interaction.
But that's what I'm talking about, the Clubhouse interaction. So you did see it, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so now, what are your... I heard so many different perspectives on it, but, you know, one that stood out to me was Lovely T that I was able to watch to their earlier stream, and she just said she was actually defending Academics in regards to the situation, but I wanted to hear you break down the story if you actually...
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky. I think it's all dependent on who you stand by, honestly, because I think when it comes to Academics, he is salacious. He does do a lot of things. I do feel like he has a bit of a vulture type of style of reporting the news. So he started out with the Chirac, and that was exploitation of the deaths that was happening in Chicago. But on the flip side of it, many people could say, well, he was simply just covering what was already happening. So it's not like he is out there making the story. He's just covering what already exists. And is there something wrong with that? But I think Meek Mill also had a point too. He basically was saying, like, we got to get this type of reporting out of hip hop culture, because as you opened up the segment, a lot of this is getting these artists in trouble. Like Vlad TV interviews are being used in a court of law against artists. So if this is the dynamic that's happening where you're going on these platforms, you're being open and candid, quote unquote, and then what you're saying is being used against you to either indict you or bring some charges against you, there's a point there to be made that Meek Mill is saying. So I think it's all about who you stand by. Academics, to me, I think is obviously huge, but I do think that he's kind of built a house of cards that he's had a little bit of luck that other industry, people with more industry cred has helped him keep up, like Joe Budden. He was positioned next to Joe Budden. during what was the name of the damn big complex, Everyday Struggle. So he was next to Joe Budden. Joe Budden had a bit of industry street cred to some extent, even though he was coming off of Love and Hip Hop and he had lost a lot of it, but he still was considered like a hip hop icon. You always consider him one of the top lyricists in the game. So that gave him a little bit of cred. And then now you had him with Wayno, and he's just had the fortunate opportunity to have someone who is respected in the game be sitting next to him. And now that Complex no longer has him and he's on his own again, but with a bigger name and with all of the baggage that he's kind of accumulated, I do feel like he's built a house of cards for his brand, and he's going to have to do some rebranding. That's all.
Well, you know what? I hope that they're able to just all bounce back and just be able to just, can we all just be friends out here? Okay. Can we just all,
Yeah. I mean, they have history though. So it's not like it's going to get crazy though. I think that they will, at the end of the day, end up resolving whatever issues they have.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. I just don't, it's just, you know, it's so sad. It's like, can we just not report any bad news for hip hop anymore for the next 6 months? Can we just take a break?
Yeah.
It's a lot. You know, every week, we come on the show, we do the show every week, and every week there's literally something to talk about in regards to, you know, sometimes we have to shelf certain topics because sometimes it's so crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I don't even think, the only thing is, I don't even feel like this is a real beef to me. Like, they don't like each other, but it's not like Meek Mill got goons out in the street looking for him. Okay. Like, that's not what this is.
All right, as long as, you know, we just don't need nobody else getting hurt out here. Let's just all be friends for real. But I was actually interested in just, you know, taking a look into the beef a little bit more. And I was able to hear some of the playback of it and just the way that 21 Savage is definitely more the peacemaker. Like, let's not gang up on him. Let's let him talk. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? So, but to have three rappers coming at you at once on a platform is kind of bugged out. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna hold you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even know how I would even deal with that situation. But listen, the energy you put out is the energy you get back. So if you feel like you got smoke for artists, when they got smoke back for you, you just have to deal with it.
Well, see that's the problem, and that's why I said he built a house of cards. Is because Academics, by no extent of the word, is a tough guy. And so he goes on his platform sometimes and he's talking about, you know, this, that, and the third. And I got some, like he's, like you said, he got all the smoke for all these artists. So now when you get confronted, you get cornered because that tough, you're not a tough guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you have never done street stuff. You're not a street dude. You don't position yourself as a street dude. But you're talking on street topics, and that's why it's very important to be careful about what you say when it comes to street things, because especially if you're not intimately involved in the streets, because when you get confronted by a street dude, there's only two ways that's going to go. You end up going to get embarrassed or hurt. So this is where you end up in Clubhouse and Meek Mill ends up in the same room as you. And now y'all starting to go back and forth, and then you're going to get embarrassed at the end of the day because he does have the street cred behind him. So you could, you know, try to maneuver all you want, but you can't, all that stuff you were talking on your platform where you got buck and you got crazy, you're not going to say that to Meek Mill in Clubhouse, because you know that can then go left. Then it could go somewhere else, and most likely it'll be you getting hurt or embarrassed, not Meek Mill. So
that's all.
Yeah.
Fact. Okay. All right. So on that note, we'll definitely end it there. So let's just all keep it all together. If you ain't ready for that smoke, be quiet. Okay.
Yes. Fact.
All right. X, thanks, bro, for coming on and giving us the culture news, man. You know, next week is gonna be the finale, and I'm excited to actually have you come on and co-host that one. So I'm excited about that. So everybody, make sure y'all tune in next week for the finale. But X, appreciate you coming on and giving us the culture news. Let everybody know where they can find you.
So you're ready, though? Go up to the top. My name is Creator X. I have a whole bunch of interesting things on my page that a lot of people like to listen to and see. So I'm Creator X. Holla at me. Talk to you soon. I have a podcast called Dad Has Some Bow Ties. But we are on season finale up until January. But until then, listen to some of our old episodes. XAB, I'll holler at y'all. Have a great show.
I appreciate you, bro. All right, y'all. So that was XAB coming in. Give us the coaching news, all right?
Yes.
If you want to know what's going on in hip hop, he's the one to talk to.
Yes.
If you want to know what's going on in politics, he's the one to talk to.
Yes.
If you want to know what's going on in the culture, he's the man to go to, all right?
Yes.
So, fact. So, we're going to get the next guest on here, which is Mr. Morgan J, all right? Let's get him on the live, and let's see what he got. Mr. J, you ready?
What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? Hey, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, and you sound like T-Pain.
Can you hear this? Can you hear this? Yeah. Is this the right key? Hold up. I just want to make sure we got the sound check.
Hey.
You know, ready to go. My bad.
I didn't know if it would work. I didn't know if it would work when you do a live with somebody, but it's good to be here, man. Thank you for having me.
Oh, listen, thank you for that intro. Thank you.
What's up? My bad. I said to get it set up. That's all. I want to make sure we're good.
Listen, came in with the sound check. You were ready to go. He's ready, prepared.
Let's go.
Come on. All right, we're on the money. Back coach to the break. Nice to meet you.
What's up, man? Nice to meet you, too.
Listen, man, tell the people who you are and what you do.
So, guys, what's up? I'm Morgan J. I am a musician, comedian, actor, writer here out in Los Angeles. But I'm probably mostly a musician. I've been doing comedy and music for about 13 years. I was on a TV show last year called Bring the Funny with Kenan Thompson, Chrissy Teigen, and Jeff Foxworthy. And this year we've just been, if you could see my setup, I've been performing from my desk for the last, almost this whole year.
Yes.
And I'll just say this: it might be me, but sometimes your vocals cut out in and out, and it could be my setup. I don't know, but just sometimes it goes out a little bit. But that might be me. I don't know.
As long as you can hear me enough to have a conversation, can you hear me enough?
Yeah, every once in a while, I'll just have you repeat yourself if I miss a question. That's all.
No worries.
Well,
super dope that you've been able to kind of He said, my fault, y'all, that's the Bay Area being a representative. Okay. That's XAB from the coaching that was giving us my fault, y'all, that's the Bay Area being representative. I don't understand what you're talking about. Reiterate that, please. Thank you.
Yes.
So you were able to maneuver through the comedy, acting, stand up. Come on, you're a musician, you're an improv genius, you're a light technician, a sound tech.
We just try to keep it wavy with the vibes, you know, because I think what happened with me, the whole reason I have some sort of lighting setup is because when I do these shows on Zoom or on Twitch or whatever, thank you so much, Leslie B, 1975, appreciate you. What happens is, like, when you're on these Zoom calls or wherever you're doing the show on the internet, they need to be able to know who is performing, I think, you know? So if you have like a nice, like if you see that I have like a nice camera, I got lights and stuff. I got the whole setup over here, you know? So you want them to know that we're going to take it serious and it's going to be good, you know?
Okay. Got it. Well, listen, it's all about being prepared, man. I know you already got. Okay. X is saying E40 versus Too Short equals the Bay Area. That is fact. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Clean up from culture news earlier today. But bro, how was it now, jumping back into not being prepared? You got into a few TV shows. How was it being prepared? How did you get into this business? Well, you know, talk to us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, I did my first open mic when I was 18 in New York. So I went to school in New York, but I didn't really do it until I was 20 for real. And then, you know, just to give you an abridged version, I did stand up for about 5 or 6 years. And then when I moved to LA, about a year after moving to LA, I picked up the guitar and started doing that as an experiment. And then, you know, one song turned into two songs, turned into three songs. And then before you know it, I have, you know, 30, 40, 50 songs. I put out two albums, a comedy special, and, you know, and then what happens is, like, I think this year is a good example. I have been, like back in April, I leaned in really hard to performing online, right? Because I was like, we're not going to be performing for over a year live, I think, at least like on average, you know? And I leaned in, I said yes to everything. And then it just turned out I was doing a good job. And I think it's all from doing a good job. That's how you get work. You just get referred. People are like, they killed it. You could rely on that person. It's like, you want to be a consistently good performer in order to give people confidence that you're going to deliver each time, you know?
Yes.
It's like, you know, I look up to somebody like Jamie Foxx, who I think is an incredible musician, comedian. He does everything. I think Jamie Foxx is honestly probably one of the talented men on earth. Juilliard train. The guy can do literally everything. So if you're somebody who runs a show, you don't need to worry. You just be like, let's have Jamie on the show. So you want to be so good that they don't even have to worry about what you're going to do. You know?
It'd be like a one-man show.
Yeah, you want to be versatile. I mean, I think this year's, if it's taught us anything, it's like you got to be able to pivot, you know? I know a lot of people that are just waiting for stuff to happen, waiting for shows to come back, but it's not like that. You kind of got to make your own fortune, make your own situation, make your own lane, you know?
Yeah. So now it seems like you have a bit more of a hustle than a typical LA. I'm not gonna start on the LA people.
That's okay. I mean, I think so.
New York people definitely, I'm from New York. You know what I'm saying? I live in New York now, but we definitely have a certain hustle and like, yo, when nothing's gonna come, you gotta go take it. But you gotta go find it. Now, in terms of now how you even got a chance to be on the show with Chrissy Teigen, talk to us about how that audition came about and just that experience.
You know, that was pretty interesting. I think that's the process started at the end of 2018, almost 2 years ago. And then two friends separately referred me to a casting associate there. And so I filled out a form. I sent some stuff in and then I didn't hear anything. So I applied like in October 2018. I didn't hear anything until like February 2019. And then they were like, hey, they really like you. So then we did a video call, and then my manager had messaged me, you know, 2 weeks later, like, hey, you're going to get an offer to do the show. The thing about the show was, you know, there was 40 people on the show and there was no guarantee. So they had like maybe like 100 people signed on to do it. So there was no guarantee that I would have made it to the actual TV show. But I got really lucky with that whole thing as far as like from point A to point B. Like, they edited me well. The people at the show really liked me. I mean, if you're somebody who's on TV and you're working with the network, that was my first time working at the network. So I learned a lot about, you know, editing. They told me, you know, basically I submitted five comedy songs, and they were like, okay, we want you to do this, this, and this. And then they were like, you got to change that word. You got to make this, you know, 2.5 minutes as opposed to a 5 minute song. So, but they were really good to me. I got a really good minute out of it. I will say, I thought I was going to be famous. I thought I was like, this is it. I'm going to be singing to Chrissy Teigen. Huh? This is my moment. And if you go, there's like, I have a clip with her that I thought was so good and I'm really proud of it. And I thought this was the moment, and then nothing happened. But I think that's what it is. You know, sometimes you just got to enjoy the ride. Yep, exactly.
There's so many other dope stuff that happened, right? Like, I hope my ex doesn't see.
Yes, yes.
Dope things is happening. In addition to working with Chrissy, that's dope. We clap for that.
Yes.
To check out your special, which is, you know, 7 months up, and you've hit almost 500,000 views.
Almost, yeah. It's crazy.
So shout out to you for doing that in this digital era where everything's super hard to accomplish. So,
I'll be honest with you. I chalked that up to TikTok. I'm serious. TikTok was instrumental in that. I couldn't have done it without TikTok. I just like, I had been sitting on that special for over a year. I filmed that in January 2019. So almost 2 years ago. And I didn't put it out until May of this year. You know?
What made you decide to be like, this is the time to put it out?
Well, everything shut down. There was no live show. I was supposed to go to Scotland for this festival in Edinburgh. It's like this biggest theater festival in the world. And the plan was to do that whole hour-long special there, and then maybe somebody would see it. We could sell it. You know, my old manager, the plan was for him to pass it around town here in Hollywood. And you know, nothing really happened with it. And I wasn't sad about it or anything. And, you know, looking back on that special, I feel like I did a good job. I feel like I'm a way better performer now, even in the last 2 years or so. And so then May rolled around. I wasn't doing anything. Everything was closed. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put this out. Who gives a shit? You know, and so then I put it out. And then what I did was I started putting it out on TikTok 1 minute at a time. And then I was also putting out all my improvised crowd work videos where I mess with the crowd. So those two things together. And then at the end of every video, I'd be like, hey, by the way, guys, go to my YouTube if you want to see the full thing. And then, you know, I had, I want to say 3 or 4 TikToks that kind of went viral. You know, one got like 7 million views and then another one got like a little over 1 million. And those were kind of instrumental in driving traffic to, oh shit. Uh-oh. What just happened? What just happened?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Oh, no.
Oh. You did lose me, but I'm back.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Okay. It's a little bit. Maybe I should rejoin. What do we think? Should I rejoin?
Is it staticky? How you look?
Let me see. I'm going to. Oh, okay. It's good. It was, you were a little bit choppy for a second, but I think it's good now. Could be me.
Audience, let me know in the comments below if you guys can see us and if we're choppy. Everyone's saying it looks good. They saying, by the way, California's in the house. Do you have any merch that can be purchased? Morgan, you have been my favorite comedian, all right? So there's definitely some comments in the house.
Is it my wife? I hope it's not my Wi-Fi. My Wi-Fi is always...
It's definitely your Wi-Fi.
No!
all right.
Damn.
Morgan, can you put comments?
Sorry, you know, let me try to like turn my computer off or something, just because maybe I'm using too much Wi-Fi in my house. I don't know what's going on.
Can you hear me?
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm sorry about the.
No, it's okay. Okay. Somebody said some comments in the house and stuff like that. It was from David. It says, but it's fine. Everyone says we're good in the comments.
Okay.
But then let me ask you this real quick now. So now you the special jumps off and you have your whole setup right now. And on Instagram, you do these dope freestyles that you get to go off on your team. It never comes to the door. How did you even develop? First of all, I have Mr. Terrell Hicks in the building. Mr. Terrell Hicks, if you're actually here, Terrell, please leave us a comment below. She's like a vocal connoisseur. You know what I'm saying? So I know you actually do a lot of, you know, your vocals, a lot of your writing on the improv. So how would you get your inspiration to do that?
The improv stuff? So that came, and I'm going to be honest with you, I don't feel like I'm good at freestyling. For me, I'm just trying to have fun. You know, I'm not like what's, you know, like Harry Mack or Little Dicky. I'm thinking of these guys because they're, or Mark Rebier, because I picked these three guys because they're on social media platforms doing this, like, and doing it really well, like improvising. I honestly, for me, I just do it to have fun and vibe out. And I think people, as long as you smile and you have a good time, I think people, you know, they see you're having a good time. So it's all good, you know?
That's definitely a fact. Let's be said, I think Morgan has a little bit of black in him.
Okay. Yes. You know what I say? You know what I joke with my friend? I joke with my friend Nina. I say I have black energy. You know, I'm Brazilian. So I'm Brazilian. Here's the thing. I talk about this. I don't feel like I identify with. I'm Brazilian, so my mom's from Brazil, my dad's from Argentina. So like, in Los Angeles, people think I am Persian. You know, everybody be thinking I'm Persian over here. You know, so you know, like Brazilian music, they have bossa nova, they got good rhythm. I like the music. You know, I grew up in the suburbs. Real talk, I grew up in the suburbs of New Jersey, but then I lived in New York City for 7 years. Ended up in Queens.
What part of Jersey?
Mahwah, Bergen County. Okay. But not like a wealthy part. There's like a wealthy part of that town. My mom was like cleaning houses, you know, like immigrant mom. You know what I mean?
Got it. Well, by the way, that's the one thing we all have in common. I'm from Jersey, hence the name Jersey.
Let's go.
And then Rail, that's going to be coming on later on, is also from Jersey.
Okay.
So, you know, so, or lives in Jersey now. But, you know, but definitely we're all Jersey people. So now, so going back into your story, I was just telling you that, you know, but
Also, somebody dropped me. I've had a question up here. It says, what were some challenges you faced once you realized your talent? I think the biggest, real quick, just to answer this, because yeah. I want to know where we saw it. Biggest challenge is honestly, there's like a little voice in your head that's always going to tell you that, you know, you're not good enough. People are going to find out you're a fraud. You're not talented. You can't do this. There's always this voice inside you that is telling you like you can't do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you honestly is all the biggest challenge is always battling that voice, because it's like, there's always going to be somebody better than you. There's always going to be somebody younger coming up that's right on your heels.
Yeah.
So, you know, so all you can really do is create work that you like and that you're happy with, and then hopefully it will connect with people and they'll like it. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, you gotta, if you're doing this for money, if you're an entertainer and you're doing this for money, then this is not the right thing for you.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on. And how many free things do you have to do before you get one check, Morgan?
I'm telling you, you know, and I tell people how much sometimes I charge for a corporate gig to do like a 15-minute set. And they're like, wow, I can't believe you do it. You charge it. And I'm like, well, you gotta understand, I work for free for like most of my career.
Come on.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is how many
about these things? When you make it, they're like, "Oh, you made it." But let's talk about how many years that I didn't make it, and we had to actually work.
They don't know,
right? And then even when they think you made it, it's like you don't even know what's still going on behind the scenes. What's in the front is still not always in the back.
Yes,
right. You know, so but it's definitely a process. Morgan, close this out, man, with a nice, dope track. Man.
Let's see. Let's see if we have I just have some beats here that I found for some TikTokers. Oh, yeah. That's not the right key. Yeah. Oh. Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, what's up? We on the live stream. Just me, Morgan, and Jersey. Everybody straight. Yo, we chilling. Everybody having a good time, hey, Natalie, and thank you for the vibes, oh, who inspire me, I like Reggie Watts, I like Rory Scovel, I like, who else, Jack Black, I like the musical comedians, let's go, T-Pain, it's lit, hey. Ooh, Matty Ringy in the house, LOL, yes, everybody chilling, little wow. What's the score, hey? Here is the black, yes, this is the black part of me. I mean, I wish I knew, the only thing I wish I knew to do was breakdance. I just didn't know how to breakdance, so we're going to have it unlocked. Ooh, yeah. Ooh. It's a little out of tune, but whatever, we had a good time with it.
Come on.
Ooh, let me put these headphones back up.
You are in the money, Morgan, bro. You definitely got a little bit of black in you. Check that out, bro. It's in the eye.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for coming on and just talking some straight facts and giving a bit of who you are, bro. Do not be a stranger on the show. We'd definitely love to have you again.
I would love to come back, man. Thank you. So this is dope.
All right, man. We'll talk soon, bro.
I appreciate you, man. Be well.
All right, y'all, that was Mr. Morgan just coming on and giving us everything that he was talking about. All that energy. Come on. Let's get Miss Terrell Hicks on the line. Miss Terrell, you ready, Queen B? It's time to have this conversation. The moment we've all been waiting for. Miss Terrell Hicks. There she go. Hey, welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here, man. I'm actually in the editing session, so if you hear stuff in the background, you have some editing going on. But we're going to get our conversation crack-a-lacking too.
It's all good. Listen, that's what I love about entertainment people. We don't stop working, okay?
Yes!
All right. 11 o'clock.
Yes!
12 midnight.
Yes!
We stay working. Yeah. Well, welcome to Black Culture, the Great Day.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here to talk to the people, to talk to you.
Yes, the comments is already going crazy because it was already.
Let's see.
They're already commenting because they're like, oh my gosh, she's here. Welcome.
Here.
So much to get into because your career has been so inspiring to a lot of a lot of us that are, you know, especially brown people out here, you know. And the fact that you've been, you know, someone that's been iconic in both music and film, you know, it's quite a testimony. And we're definitely going to crack into all of that.
Yes. Ready? Yes, I'm ready. Let's go. Let's go on the journey.
Let's go on it. All right. So don't mind my sound effects. They're here to play.
Yes.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay. So now, how did you get into the business? Bring it back to the beginning for us.
Okay. The beginning. So I grew up in church, sang in church, and my sisters were super, super talented, and they landed roles in Mama Wanna Sing. I don't know if you know that play. It might be before your time, but it's an off-Broadway play called Mama Wanna Sing. Desiree Coleman, I believe, was the star at the time. But my sister, Deatra Hicks, I know y'all know who she is. She's been in a lot of Tyler Perry plays and stuff. So yeah, she can blow. And so she landed the lead role as Doris in the play. Now, mind you, I was only like 11 or 12. So my hopes and my dreams was looking at my sister on stage was, okay, I could do this. I want to do this. So I had to figure out how to ease my way on the stage because I knew I was young and they're, you know, they were adults. So how was I going to get my 11-year-old self up there in the choir to get in the scene to be in this play? And I started out as an usher. So I was ushering for 2 years, but the whole 2 years that I was ushering in the theater, I was studying the show and every part and looking at all the acting and just imagining myself up there. And that opportunity came, one of the sopranos didn't show up and they were low on numbers. I think it was like a snowstorm, something happening. And your girl was there. Your girl knew all the songs. Your girl was ready.
Yes.
So basically, throw her up there. So at 13, I was on stage and, you know, perfecting my craft, learning. And that journey, I stayed on that journey until I was about 15, 16. They closed down. But I did that for a good 4 or 5 years. And I just knew, like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. Like, I'm not really trying to do anything else besides sing and act. Now, how I was going to get in film, I didn't know. So this is probably going to answer your next question.
Definitely will. But now, how did you realize, now, before you bring it back now, before we even get there, you realize at 13 that, okay, I like to study this. This is something that attracts me to this. I'm a creative director and I'm a choreographer. So okay. Work with artists and singers all the time to help them bring out, you know, just the performance out of them.
Yeah.
Now, you already kind of have something like that at 13 already. To even be able to, Mama, I Can Sing, I've heard of the play, but I haven't seen it. You know, but I've definitely heard of it with just doing the research on your life. But, you know, how were you like, I know I'm ready for this. Like, how did you know that at 13 years old that this is really what you wanted to do?
Because when I did it, I felt good about it. And the reaction from others around me, you know, you have something when people say, girl, you gave me goosebumps. And I'm like, what? What's a goosebump?
Yeah. Okay.
No, I'm like, okay, so I like doing this. And then there's something special about it because it's touching someone else. So that in mind just let me know, okay, girl, you could do this. You can run with this. You could go with this because it's making you feel good, but it's also making people around you feel good too.
That's a definite fact. So now your gift.
Yes.
Did you realize, or when did you realize, my voice is special? Because everyone, what was that realization for you? What was that trigger?
Okay, so that actually happened in church. And my sisters were a duet, so my mom will always stick me in there as a solo to kind of develop me at around 7. And I mean, I don't know how familiar people are on here with the gospel music, but she would make me sing this song called Because He Lives. And when I would get up and sing that, all the missionaries was up, all the deacons was up, all the elders was up, people was getting in the spirit. And I was only 7 years old.
Wow.
So I had that, and that is what they call the anointing. So the anointing to sing. So if I had that at 7, I'm like, okay, this is my special gift. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. So I was a singer before I realized that I had acting skills. I just always just wanted to be a singer. I just wanted to be like Whitney Houston as a child until I got into the theater and started working. And then I was like, okay, there's a little bit more to me. I can also act. Okay. And I can combine these two. So, but that's when I realized that I could sing in church, and my whole family is very large. My grandfather was the pastor of our church. My dad can sing. My mom plays the piano and the organ. So, it was just in the family. It was like, I had no choice.
But talk about a special voice and an interesting and a unique tone, right? I think that your voice is so unique, and I must say to you, underrated. In terms of just how you deliver and just the melodies that you have. Because I feel like your tone is kind of unmatched. It's almost reminiscent of, like Brandy, Aaliyah. It's so many mixtures that I feel like bring. Now, you said Whitney Houston you wanted to be like. Who were your influences growing up? Like, who were you like, yo, I'm going to try to match her and put it all together?
I loved Whitney Houston. I love Janet Jackson.
Okay.
I loved Shanice Williams.
Okay.
Yes.
I love Tracy Spencer. Like, those are all the girls I grew up on. I love Jody Watley. Like, I listened to everybody. Like, I love Lisa.
Okay. Yes.
By the way, I used to backup dance for Lisa. In the
did you? Wow. Cool. For some of the voice, I love Cece Winans's voice. I feel like her tone is just magical. Yeah. It's magical. Of course, all the Winans, I love their voices. In my era, like when I did have a record out, I loved Deborah Cox and Tamia and all of those women that have really strong voices. I love them. And then I can't leave out my sister because she was signed to Capitol Records and her voice is amazing. It's another unmatched, underrated voice.
Yes!
Clap it up for the sister. All right, now. The comments are going crazy already for you, Terrell. They say, I love you. Let me just read a few real quick. I love your skin. You paved the way for Chocolate Woman. OMG, you're beautiful. Love you. All right. That's a fan. Such an inspiration to black women, girls, little girls. My daughter loves you. Pretty. I hope this, I hope you see this. Stay blessed. That is from Tamika Moma OF4. All right.
Okay. Thank you, Tamika. We're going to chop that name now. Thank you, Tamika. Thank you, girl.
So definitely, you've definitely been a part of, come on, somebody just said The Bronx Tale is one of my favorite movies still. Somebody saying love from Germany, you know what I'm saying? So they're here for you, Terrell. Let's get into The Bronx Tale.
Yes.
All right. That was like your first really like, hello, Hollywood, right?
It was.
And you picked up that phone and you sang. Yeah. Talk to us about
Okay, so let's talk about The Bronx Tale first. So the play, like I said, closed down. And so I didn't know what next was going to be. I'm a girl from Gun Hill Projects. And I'm like, oh, boy. That being at the show kind of gave me an out.
Projects?
I grew up in Gun Hill Projects. Yes, in the Bronx. Yes, I did.
Oh.
I know all about the hood and the rough life and all. I know about that.
It was Keisha, all right? We're going to get to
Yes, you. Okay. And okay. So let's get this out the way first. So,
okay.
Going to the show was my out because I was just a child that was involved in arts. I just wanted to sing and act and do something. And I didn't really want to hang out outside with friends and do nothing else. So that show, I was there every weekend, and that was my life. That had become my life, I should say. So when it was about to close down, I was just like, oh, God, what am I going to do now? I know I have to finish high school, but it's got to be something else that I could do. And so my sister saw the audition for A Bronx Tale on Video Music Box with Ralph McDaniels announced that they're looking for an African-American girl, to play the role of Jane, the character of Jane. If you think that's you, go down there and audition. Yep, just like that. So I was like, my sister was like, Terrell, like, you should go. You should do that. And I'm
I asked you, how old were you at the time?
I was 16.
So then again, so you're still young, but you still knew in your head, I need to go do this.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So I was just like, okay, well, what do I have to lose? I'm going to go down there and be me and just try to get this role. And I really, really did not think that I would land that role. So when I got to the audition, when I tell you, it was, okay, it was my first audition, and it was so many girls. Not only were there African-American girls, but there were Spanish girls. There was a few Snow Whites in there. And I was like, but I thought they said African-American. There was like every nationality there. And I was like, but they specifically called for African. So I was like, okay, well, maybe they changed. Maybe they're looking for, you know, every ethnicity now. I went in, did my first audition. And I said the guy's name wrong. His name is Calogero. I think I pronounced it in my audition. I'll never forget. I called him Caligerio because, you know, black girls, we don't know how to pronounce Italian names. I was like, Caligerio, that's his name. So the woman, she was just like, his name's Calogero. I was like, oh, okay, Calogero. So I think me just being my authentic self got me that role. So I got, I want to say about 13 callbacks for that part.
You got 13.
13. That's unheard of, right?
So why 13?
Because they were so indecisive. Okay, Naomi Campbell originally had the role.
Okay, hold on one second. Hold on one second. Naomi Campbell could sing?
No, you talking about? Are you talking about Subway Stories? I'm still on the Bronx Tale.
Oh, you're on the Bronx Tale.
I'm on the Bronx Tale. Yeah. Naomi Campbell had the role, but then De Niro decided that he wanted to go younger with the cast.
Got it.
When they put the search out for another African-American girl. So I kept going back and kept going back. I'm like, I don't know what they're looking for. But I also realized why I probably got the role, because at the time, like I said, I grew up in church. I didn't watch a lot of TV. I didn't watch a lot of movies. I stayed my weekends at the show. And I didn't know who Robert De Niro was. So when I went in the room, I was not fazed. I was not intimidated. I just did what I did on stage at Mama I Wanna Sing and just took the part and did what Terrell does. And all the other girls, like it was a few girls towards the end of our callbacks, and it was just like, oh my God, Bob is here today. He's in the room. He said, I'm like, Bob, go back, his mom. Like, so I didn't know who he was. And that's terrible. But when I got in the room, I could see him, and I was like, okay, so that must be Bob because he looks really serious. So that must be him. So he's looking, he's like, you know, whispering to Chaz Palminteri. And then the whole time, Chaz, towards the last few auditions, Chaz is the writer of A Bronx Tale, by the way. So towards the last few auditions, Chaz, he was kind of like giving me like signals like, yeah, Bob really likes you. Yeah, you know, you were great on that test run today. You were. And so I'm like, you know, I'm looking at my mom because my mom went with me to every single callback. And I'm like, well, maybe I can get this. And so we went back to the projects. We went back. And so, you know, at that time you had the wall phones. You had no beepers. You had no cell phones. You had to wait for the call. So I wasn't going anywhere. I was staying inside all day. So then we finally get this call, and they're like, okay, Mrs. Hicks, so we just want you to know that we're very interested in Terrell. Bob loves her skin complexion, and she did a really great job on the read. We're still down to like one more girl. It's between her and one more girl. But we really want her to stay inside, you know, don't spend too much time in the sun and don't go out and play. And I mean, I was like, I was so confused because I was just like, oh, okay, so they really want my shade of brown to stay exactly the way I tested. So it was summertime, and you know how we do. We go outside in the sun and we have darker. So they're like, yeah, tell her to stay. So I'm like, okay, at this point, now they're controlling my life. They want me to stay inside. So I must have this role. I have this role. So that night, I got on my knees, okay? The church girl got on her knees, and I said, God, look, this is a lot. I done been on the train. We done been back and forth. All these times, I'm tired. Okay. They need to give me the role. And the next day, they called and it was like, Terrell's the one. She got it.
Come on. That was God.
That was God. Prayer works.
That's a little bit of insight. I'm not, you know, Robert De Niro is a major actor.
Yeah, he's major.
You understand? And you know, the budget was 10. I'm looking here, the budget was $10 million to make this movie. So now, you just being a girl out the hood, you in the middle now of a production that mm-hmm. is probably the biggest thing you've ever seen. How did you process this? And how mentally, where was your head at? And how did you feel the people around you treated you different? Just being a girl from the hood. Mm-hmm. How did you feel all of that so quickly?
So, although I was a girl from the hood, my sister at the time was signed to Capitol Records. Okay. And she was very, you know, her voice was just, you know, very popular at that time in the 90s. So I kind of was used to her success. God. And I knew, like, okay, if she could do it, I could do it. And so in my head, I was just following in her footsteps. You know, I was like, yeah, I want the record deal. I'm going to be in movies. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. That was just my mentality. And then I told my mother and my father, I was like, yeah, we can't stay here because I'm about to be a star. I was like, we can't live here no more. Yeah. And they started looking for houses and we moved. But I think mentally I prepared myself for it because I was always around it. Like my sisters, they were so great to me. My older sister, Miriam, she took myself and my younger sister to Japan when we were, yeah, it was like 12. Okay. Yeah, like 12. So I've been, I was a project girl. I've been to Japan. You know what I'm saying? And you know how Japan is. When you go there, they have everything way before us. So all of their technical stuff is way ahead of what America's doing. So we were out there. They were looking at VHS tapes here, and they had the CD disc, the movies on CDs, or you know the record look. I guess I don't know what you call those.
DVDs, right?
Say that again.
DVDs.
DVDs, but they were like a record size. They weren't small yet. They were like the size of a record, right? But they played movies.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But that was only in Japan. And of course, all of their cameras and video equipment was just way ahead of us. So I was seeing things that the average person, you know, where I came from just wasn't experiencing. So I always knew that, you know, we weren't going to be there long, at least in my era. Now, my sisters, they were older, so they grew up all their life in the projects, but not me. Oh. We moved out.
I'm saying,
no.
Okay, she was done doing it. All right. No. She was doing it. But talk to us now about
Mel. Laser disc. Yes, he got a laser disc. Thank you. Who said that? That's CJ22-1983. Yes, laser disc. Thank you so much for the help.
CJ. What's about manifestation, right? You knew in your head, like, I'm not staying here. So let's talk. House, before you even started even seeing money even come in, you just already knew, let's start to make this adjustment, because I know that what I have set for my life is what we living in right now. And it seems like you already had that mindset from even.
Right.
So now.
Because even in junior high school, I was like, they would send me to sing for like Maya Dinkins. Like, so it was always something special revolving around me, or you know, just who I was, but and I'm like, you know, I'm gonna milk this because I'm supposed to be like Whitney Houston, like, yeah. I'm gonna milk this.
He's speaking that into existence,
yes, right? Yes,
okay,
yes,
past tense and presence, all
right, right.
So now, man, your career has just been so festive, you know, there's so much to even talk about, but that was Bronx Tale. Thank you for giving us that sum up. If you guys never heard. That was a Bronx Tale sum up. Now, real quick, the Clips Notes version of you getting on that subway and singing like that. Okay? Yeah. Subway stories against your girl from the hood. And it just felt so authentic because you got. Yeah. Dang. And I watched it and I was like, yo, you don't get goosebumps from a lot of, just like you said, you don't get goosebumps from a lot of artists, but that scene was really special. Talk to us about what made you tap into even finding those vocals to, you know, and the vulnerability to even be able to sing that song.
Okay, so again, it goes back to my training on stage with Mama I Wanna Sing. Mama I Wanna Sing was a very soulful play, and Desiree and my sister Deatra, they gave killer vocals like Patti LaBelle. Like, they sang from their gut, and not only that, but a song like that, when you come from church or you have a church background, it's no other way to sing that but with umph. So I had to stick my foot in it and really pull out, you know,
yes,
all of those great voices that I heard in my head. And that's pretty much what came out.
Yes.
And then the feeling of, you know, her wanting to see her mother before she dies and she can't get there. I just put all that emotion into the song. Like, if this is the last time my mother's going to hear me sing, then I'm going to tear it up. She's going to hear this voice on the other side. So that's kind of what I channeled.
Well, listen, hearing it now, 20 on the other side. You understand? Mm-hmm. That's dope, and just putting out great work does. It transcends, and it makes people that even necessarily didn't necessarily grow up on it, but they discover it and they want to have that. Talk to you. Thank you for being here on Black Culture the Breakdown. So you definitely come on the comments is like, they said, just beautiful. I am Queen. Something that was absolutely just beautiful. I must say.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, jumping into Miss Keisha.
Yeah.
All right? Miss Dang, right? Miss Yo, you ain't going to do what you want to do up in here. Okay?
Right.
About Belly and how you linked up with Hype Williams, even though I know he also your silly video, correct?
He did. But I knew Hype way before the silly situation. After Bronx Tale came out, Usher Raymond was shooting Think of You video.
Okay.
And Hype reached out to me for that video, and that was my first video. I was never a video girl prior to that. Okay. So he called and was just like, yo, I have this video I think you would be perfect for. It's with Usher Raymond. He's a new artist. And he was a new artist at that time. So he's a new artist. He's like, are you interested? And I was just like, okay, sure. If I'm going to be featured as, you know, a brown skin beauty, why not? Because that's what I wanted to represent. I wanted girls out there to see their shade on the screen, to see them, you know, and we weren't seeing a lot of this color at that time. So it was, you know, it was another opportunity and another outlet and something different that I hadn't done before. And I love to challenge myself. So I took it on, and it was a bomb video, and it blew up, and it was running in the 90s, and that led to other videos and, you know, and so on.
So now, that was now how you got into Belly. We're working with Keisha, we're working with Hype Williams to get into Belly because he directed that. But now let's bring it back to the music, all right? Mm-hmm. Before Keisha, there was the music.
Yeah.
And there was Silly, which was a Billboard chart hit. Talk to us about how you even got with Missy.
Okay.
To even be able to put that project out that, you know, we all love so much. You know what I'm saying? So
basically, Andre Harrell and Dice Rundani, he hooked us up. Well, my team with Missy, and he was like, you know, this young girl, she's here, she's a dope writer, because Missy wasn't really popular then when she worked with me. She was like still like footing her way in the business, and she was working with Aaliyah and myself and some other artists, but she was dope and she was new. She came from Virginia. She was living in Jersey, and you know, they put us together, and she just started playing me some stuff, and I was like, okay, I like the Ooh Ooh Baby, that's great, and we went in, we did that, and Missy's just cool people. She's like, doesn't change, she's the same, she's just the same, but she's super duper talented, and I was very fortunate to have worked with her. Now she's like one of the number one female producers ever, and it's dope to say, well, you know what, I had her on my record too, so yeah. It's dope to say that.
Yes. Come on, Missy's a legend. I'm a choreographer and a creative director, like I said. And, you know, yeah. Missy represents dances in such a big way. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I will always, you know, dances are always overlooked. Dances are always, we're called the backup. You know what I'm saying? Which is really sad because we put our whole bodies into actually doing, just like singers and vocalists and everybody else. But I feel like dancers just don't necessarily get the same great recognition.
Yeah.
Topic for a whole nother discussion. But, you know, Missy always made sure she showed love to dancers.
And yes.
That's real, you know, so we're going to clap it up for Missy. So, the fact that she gave a touch on your project and way like that, this time is definitely a classic. I still think it's a classic.
You know, thank you.
Now, Distant Lover, that was the first single, correct?
Yes, Distant Lover was the first single, and that actually was produced by Sprague Williams, who was a part of Teddy Riley's camp at the time. And Chaz, is a part of Neptune's now. So, yes, yeah, like I worked with everybody before they blew up mega, mega big.
Usher before Missy, before she
blew up.
On.
Yep. So Chad, before he blew up, yep. I worked with everybody. It's so funny.
So now the album became a monster, right? Mm-hmm. And Billy went on to do great numbers and became a Billboard hit. And then you didn't do music anymore. Talk to us about what.
Well, Motown folded, and Andre went a different way. And you know what happens once the boss men leave. The other boss man comes in and he has his team and his talent that he believes in. And so I walked away with a nice settlement. So, you know, and then from there, you know, life just happened. Some things took place. My mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So I just had to step back. I took some time with my family. I've been married now for 20 years to my wonderful husband, Lauren Dawson, who's a producer. So don't worry, we got music and stuff coming. But once my mom got sick, I had to stop because it was just that kind of, you know, illness that kind of took over my whole family's life because, you know, my mom was my everything. And she still is. She's still here. But, you know, with Alzheimer's, she's not the same. And anyone who knows or dealing with a parent that has Alzheimer's, you know, it's no joke. It's no joke. And then, you know, I wanted to be here to really raise my children myself. I didn't want to stick them off on nannies and, you know, other people. And just enjoy life, because one thing I can say is that, you know, God has really preserved my looks. And one thing I know about this business is that it is never going to die. It's going to be here. Well, it was here before me. It was here now with me. And guess what? When I'm gone, it's still going to be here. So the fact that, you know, I've just been taking care of myself and, you know, God has been preserving me. And now I'm ready to jump into things. And that's what I'm doing. I'm living my best life. And I can truly say that I have the best of both worlds. I have a career, but I also have my family and they mean the most to me.
Yes.
So I'm happy, y'all. I'm good.
And you look happy. You look vibrant. You don't even got to even tell us because it's exuding off. Right? Comments is crazy. They say she is strong. They say a woman of integrity, all right? Confidence. Yeah. Those things are so important with just having sustained in this industry for so long. You know what I'm saying? You have been.
Absolutely.
Now, really kind of unheard. Even now, still vibrant and beautiful.
You see? Thank you.
Yes, he did. All right. You surely did.
Those sounds are hilarious. I love them, though. I love them. Yes, you better be your own audience, okay?
Your own audience.
Yes.
It's quarantine, and God is going to give us a way through everything. All
right? That's right.
Yes.
All right.
That's right. You're right.
Talk to us about music today, because your voice is angelic. On your Instagram, JP Morgan, right?
Again, yes.
Did and you sung that beautiful Christmas song, and you were teasing a possible Christmas album, and God has supported. But before, can we get a traditional Terrell R&B album?
Okay, you just cut out, and I didn't hear any of the last thing that you said, so just say that again.
Before the Christmas album, can you possibly get the Terrell Hicks R&B classic that we all need in our lives right now?
I definitely think I can work on something for my fans that I kind of like left in the 90s to pull them back to 2021. Because to me, R&B will never die. I think relationships today definitely need encouragement. So my take on music now is really just all about message. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing with our lives? Who are we being to each other? Are you loving your partner right? Your spouse right? Your boyfriend right? Are you out here wilding out, or are you doing the right things? Because we need strong families to raise strong young men and women. And we can't do that if we don't have, you know, a good foundation. So I just really think that our songs need to go back to building the foundation of wholeness and what family is about and what love is really about. And that's what I miss most about the 90s. Our lyrics in the 90s just, you know, they were like a whole life story, because you could hear the song and you see the video and you're like, yeah, that's what I want. That's what I need. Now I really don't know. I'm sorry. I probably sound like my mother sounded in my day. I don't know. But I don't know what's going on today, to be honest. I don't know what these kids are singing about, but it's a lot of booty shaking and like it's a lot going on. And that's cool. That's cool. But at the same token, it's like I just feel like we've lost touch with what true love is really about. Is it really about sliding down a pole? Like, is it really, like, what is it really about?
You know what I'm saying? You know, there's so much that's going on with music now that it's definitely not the same, Terrell. I was actually taking a look at you and put this woman first in Jaheim's video.
And yeah. Again, that song. Listen to what that song is saying. That's the music I miss.
First, come on. Yes. That's that real music. And the way that the video connected with the song and made you even connect even more. Like, yes. Put that woman first, because if she, you know what I'm saying? The words just made sense just with the way that you guys portrayed that video.
Yes.
Artists in 2020 don't even know what a proper visual even looks like with the song that rapping or singing about one thing, but then the video is showing me something different. It doesn't disconnected. It doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying? And then it becomes not iconic. It becomes Pop-Tart or
right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? It's not quality. Whereas Silly, I must say to you, Hype Williams is a genius.
Yeah.
Just the way that things cinematically is beautiful. And I think Silly is one of those videos that are just creatively will stand the test of time. And it will always be a classic just by the way that it's shot. And I think that it made the song even translate more. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
You have one of those songs, I must say to you, clap it up for that. That is a classic, okay?
Yes.
It's a classic.
And it was a classic when Denise Williams did it, and I was just glad that I could put my vocals on top of it and, you know, do justice to it as well and make her proud with the song. And it was a blessing.
That's a remake?
It is a remake. Silly is a remake. It was originally made by Denise Williams. And I believe the 80s, yeah. And so we took it, and Eddie F. did the track for it, and he was like, your voice would be perfect on this. Because again, you know, I have that very soft, high soprano tone to my voice, and that song really pulled that part of my voice out. But then I have those ballads where I am belting on a record with the records I did with Narada Walding, Michael Narada Walding, who actually produced Whitney Houston. So I did get to work with some of her producers, and he produced Mariah Carey. So he gave me two really great ballads on a record called I Wish and Don't Let the Feelings Go Away. And so if you get a chance to listen to those, then you'll hear more of my belting voice. Okay. But yeah, I was just excited. That whole album, I was just excited. I worked with some really great people.
How old, give us a timeline, walk us back. How old were you around that time when you were out?
I was in my early 20s, like 22, between 22 and 24.
So now,
yeah.
movies to music. Mm-hmm. Different monsters of the two different complete industries. But mm-hmm. how did you move that transition? Like, because you were singing in movies, but you weren't really singing on like in a, as a pop star, if that made sense.
Right.
How was that transition for you, and how did you adjust?
I was ready for it because I always wanted to sing. So I saw my videos and everything that I was going to do before I did it because I just wanted it so bad. I wanted to sing and make music and do videos. So the acting was kind of taken off more than the music, but I always wanted to be a singer. And I just, when I got a chance to do that album with Motown, that was just my baby. That was like, wow, like I'm really doing this and I'm making videos to go with it. Like I was in awe. Like I loved doing it. So it wasn't a hard transition. It was just something that I couldn't wait to happen. And then now it's finally happening. So the bouncing back and forth was like, okay, well, I love to sing, but I love to act too. And I could do both. Why can't I do both? And then Whitney Houston put out Preacher's Wife, and she doing both, and she put out Bodyguard. So that was even more inspiration. Like, she's singing and she's acting. I could do this.
Come on. Now, who did work with Whitney Houston?
Yes, I was in A Preacher's Wife. I actually had a little cameo in that movie. As one of the teens in the rec center. And the funny thing about that was the first time I met her, because I actually got called in for the table read. And at the table read was myself, the little boy, Loretta Devine, Michael Courtney, and Whitney, and Denzel. And I'm at the table. And I'm looking like, oh my God, I done died and went to heaven. I went to acting heaven. And I was like, wow. And then for Whitney to come up to me and say, baby girl, you represented us so well. I thought I was going to die with a cigarette in my hand, but I thought I was going to die.
Right now, you did a just... Yo, that was good. Yeah. Well, yo, if they wanted to play Whitney in a movie.
I do. I would gladly accept that role. Come on, somebody. Come on, reach out.
Yes.
Come reach on. Out. Yeah, give me the beaded headpiece. Let's go. And
I. You better.
We'll always love you. Yes.
Now, you better say it. Come on.
Yes. Nobody's playing over here. No, I'm really playing. See, as y'all see, I'm crazy. I'm a crazy girl.
Listen, we love you.
I'm crazy.
Culture to break down. We all about pushing the culture forward and just educating on people on how to even get to the next level. We love bringing back people that have been so successful and have done what they've done to reach new heights, and then bring it back to tell our people, how can we get there? You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. to kind of keep this situation going, how can we support you that has been around for so long to kind of still be able to thrive and succeed in this day and age called 2020, when real music is no longer at the forefront? So this is what it's all about with Black Culture to break down, is just bringing it all together. There's some comments here on the back.
Yeah, let's get into them.
All right. They saying, in between auditions, this is Lexi Damita, in between auditions and being booked for roles, what else were you doing to hone your acting craft? Lexi Damita.
What else was I doing? Well, I definitely was taking lessons to perfect what I already had naturally. So I would say, you can always learn. Don't stop learning. Always perfect your craft. In acting, there's always something that you can tap more into and go deeper into. So never stop learning. So that's what I was doing. Read a lot of books, you know, and keep yourself educated, because you just never know what's next and what you need to be prepared for. And also, come out of your comfort zone. Do things, study things that you would normally not study, because you just never know when you're going to be stretched to that place, and you want to be prepared.
Come on. I have a challenge for you. I have a school out here in New York called Lotus mm-hmm. Academy, and I would love to set up a master class where you can teach an acting master class.
Oh, Jesus.
Have you ever taught a class before?
I've never taught a master class. I've only always giving out advice, a lot of advice, but I've never taught a master.
Oh, no.
But you could be my first. See, I just talked about stretching, right? And now here I am being stretched. That's what I get. I set myself up for that.
You know what? Well, you're so good at just being a nurturer, that I think the natural progression for you would actually be to be an instructor in a way, because you actually naturally do it without even knowing that you're actually doing it. You know what I'm saying? So even if maybe not an acting coach, but a vocal coach or whatever, but I do see that kind of being something that you can do in like a masterclass situation.
And that's something we can set this up when this COVID disappears and go away. We can, you know, we can do something, definitely. I would love to talk to the people. And I, you know, I am a people's person. I love meeting my fans. I love when they come up to me and they yell Keisha. And I'm like, yeah, that was in Belly, but my name is Jarrell.
Wait, now, let's talk about that, because on the live, if you only know on the back end, everyone was DMing me, oh my God, you got Keisha? Oh my God. DMs has been ridiculous in terms of what that role has done for people in this culture, right? Yeah. Corey Gaz is actually on here. He's one of the people that said he actually did a project on you, and he sent me the project. So when I'm done with this live, I'm going to send it to you. It's a 40.
Okay. I would love to see it. I would love to see it. I mean, I'm so like humbled by all of the artwork and all of the girls out there that do their Keisha looks and they post them. They always tag me in them, and I always really try to show them love back, because I'm humbled by it, because I'm like, wow, this was decades ago, and this girl is like never gonna die. Keisha's never gonna die. Keisha is well alive, and I'm just humbled that people love her that much, and that I was able to do that and bring that to our culture, to let these young girls know, don't hate on your dark skin. Like, you're beautiful, baby. You're beautiful. You know, love it. This is what it is. This is who we are, and we're beautiful. So embrace it, accept it, love it, and keep moving and working, you know?
Of course. Come on, they're saying classic. I wouldn't mind presenting. They're saying Belly and the Bronx Tale are classics. They said, goat. Lulu is saying yes. They say, you know, so come on. Belly has really transcended. You've inspired girls literally all over the world to, you know, to push their artwork forward and not even be afraid of their brown skin and their melanin and their chocolate to be able to get a leading role. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now, you were in that role as kind of like, you were star-studded. Like, you know what I'm saying? DMX, Nas, E-Boz. Come on. You know, like, it was like really ridiculous in terms of how hype was like, all right, I have a vision of what I want this to do. The way it was shot was almost music video-esque.
Yeah.
You understand? Yes. Yeah. Like, it looked like something that was from out of a, you know, like, it just didn't even...
Still to this. And point. A lot of people didn't, like, get it. I didn't even get it ever. So I was like, hype, why do you have this Vaseline on me? Please tell me why. And he was just like, Hicks, this is just like, it's my vision. It's something new. I'm telling you, it's gonna be beautiful. Everybody's gonna love it. And you know, I trusted his judgment. So I was just like, okay, you know, I'm a hired actress. I got hired to do this part. And so, okay, if I have to wear the Vaseline and be oiled up, then I guess I need to be a professional and suck it up and just put the oil on. And so,
yo, first of all, it glow. You are every man's dream. Right? I'm telling you that right now. They say Keisha is still fine, right?
So thank you.
Really put that role. You put your foot in that role. To this day, you stand out.
So I was like, look, if I'm going to be greased up, then I need to act the hell out of this part, basically. If I'm going to be greased up, I need to make this thing work for me. So basically, that's, you know, what that was. And all the girls in the projects that had that attitude, I knew exactly where to pull from, because I was like, I grew up around this. This is Kenya from up the block. This is this girl over here. And I rolled them all into one. And then you got Keisha.
You got Keisha.
That's who she is. She is from the Bronx. She lived in Gun Hill Projects. And that's who Keisha is.
Well, Keisha's definitely a queen. She's definitely a representation for so many women out there.
Yes. Definitely. And I just want people to know that, you know, you saw her go from just being this really needy woman and dependent on Tommy, but then you also saw her evolve into fighting her own battles and at the end becoming her own woman. And then the advice that she, you know, received from T-Boz's character was just like, you don't need no nigga to take care of you. Get your stuff together. Like, get out of this life. Is this how you want to live the rest of your life? No, you don't want to do that. Go be something. And so at the end, you know, you heard the narration. Keisha got her life together. Keisha got saved. Keisha bossed up. And Keisha got her life together. So that, at the end of the day, is what makes me happy, because although you saw her journey, you also see her win at the end. So you girls out there, y'all need to win. Win at the end. Win.
Win. You heard what she said from Terrell Hicks. Hey, Keisha. She's telling y'all do how you do. I don't win at the end. Now, talk to us about the attack on hip-hop. It's such a major attack on hip-hop right now, right? And you were in a movie that was even just, you know, kind of like ahead of its time. You said nobody even got it back then. And mm-hmm. I think that translates so much now because of what's going on in hip-hop. So many of these rappers losing their lives, and so many of these are not really, you know, being protected. You know what I'm saying? Before, there was such a thing called entertainment and show business, right? But now, I feel like there's such a thing called entertainment and show business is picking up real street dudes that are really bringing this to the actual entertainment business. And now it's becoming, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. What are your thoughts from someone that's been in the music game from back, you know, from the 90s up until right now, seeing what's happening? Give us your thoughts on just, you know, your stance on hip-hop, and if you feel like there's an attack, and if you feel like they're responsible, or vice versa. Talk to us.
I just feel like today is just, they take it way too serious. Like, it's an art. It's meant to be fun. It's meant to enjoy. And so why do we have to get personal with it, where we're taking lives and, you know, you have to show that you're the biggest and the baddest? I mean, we've already lived that through watching two of the greatest rappers in our history lose their lives. For what? Tupac should still be here. Biggie should still be here. And so many others that have lost their lives over stupidity should still be here. All I'm saying is that it's not worth their life. Do it for fun. Do it for the love. Do it to make us feel good at home and for the people that's buying your albums and your records and your fans all over America and other countries. Do it for that. Because at the end of the day, if you're getting into it and you achieve your dream and then we lose you, we're celebrating someone that's not here anymore that should be here. So all I'm saying is that, yeah, we need to really, like, get ourselves together as artists and, you know, artists, hip hop artists, just get yourselves together and really, like, get yourselves together for this next generation coming up, because they're watching. And, you know, we got to clean it up and we got to just be about the love again. What happened to the love? What happened to the unity? We just got to be about that again.
Mm-hmm. Terrell Hicks, y'all, I heard what you got to say. Terrell, before we wrap it up, there's so many literally questions on the back end in comments.
Okay, let's get some of them.
Get some of them before we wrap it up, because I know you got into your session. Thank you so much for being on here. My sound is bad, so that's why you don't hear them no more. But, all right, it's a little, the show business is just the show must go on. But let's read some of these comments in the back end, all right? Mr. Okay. Says, how was it working on a Tyler Perry production?
Dope. It was super dope. Again, I was on stage doing what I love, acting and singing. And because my sister was in his plays before he was Tyler Perry Perry, like, and we knew him when he was just starting out, like, it was just cool to be back and work, you know, with him myself as the billionaire Tyler Perry. And he showed me mad love on that. So I was grateful for that opportunity and grateful that I could be in on Bam's place and, you know, show you guys my chops on stage and, you know, the acting. And it was super fun, super fun. Okay.
Dope. Okay. Well, that's how there you have it. As Miss Chrissy says, I would love to hear you and D'Atra tag team on a song and hear y'all belt out together.
One day, maybe we'll do something if she can come up for Christmas because she lives down south. So maybe if she does come up, if COVID's not too bad, we'll go live on IG and, you know, sing as a family and just, you know, be our silly selves and give y'all a show.
One day. All right. They said, boom. Did you get noticed more for Jane or Keisha?
I have to say it is an equal divide. And an equal divide because it's actually like the Caucasian and people in other countries love a bronze tail. And then my American people over here love belly and the hood show belly, mad love. So it's almost like a separation between audiences, so you know it, which is great because I'm like loved on both sides, so who wouldn't want that?
Hey, one more from Miss Terrell. What do you Miss JD said, what do you have coming up next?
JD Ballin is my son. really Jaden, you really going here, Jaden? Okay, so anyway, but I'm going to answer his question so that they can know the answer to the question. But did you guys know I have a 21-year-old son? He's going to be 21. Oh, my God. And he's an artist. His name is JD Ballin. So you could go on his Instagram and follow him. He's rapping. Wait, and, you know,
he's an artist?
Yes, he's an artist.
Break down and show us what he got. He got his
music. Yes. Yes, he has his music up, so you can definitely go and check his music out. But I actually working on my merch line, so I'm going to have a lot of Keisha and Jane merch out there for y'all to buy soon that's coming directly from me, so don't get it from nobody else. Get it from me. And we're going to highlight those blues and just rock out. I have my mask coming. I need y'all's support. Of course, music, and I'm working on a lot of independent projects, even in the COVID, you know, of course, we're being really safe, but I have a movie that I'm getting ready to start working on with Drew Sidora, and it's called Baby Mama, so we're getting ready to go into production for that. So your girl is back. I am back. And then I also have a foundation for my mom called Living Alzheimer's, where we talk on Facebook, and I have a group over there where I just like to give support to caregivers and family members that are taking care of someone with the disease, because it's a detrimental disease and it's very difficult, it's very hard. And in our community, we don't talk about it a lot and we need support with it. So I just want anyone out there that, you know, want to talk about it or be open about it, come on over to Living Alzheimer's Edna Hicks Journey, and we can chop it up over there.
Okay, listen, Terrell, you have been a beautiful guest.
Thank you.
Into everything you got coming up next, because you've blessed us before, and I know you'll bless us again because you're quiet on front, and that's why I love you. So thank you so much for being you, and we'll definitely support you along this journey.
Awesome.
Steve, you got it. For us, you got to bless us with some vocals.
Oh my God, what am I singing? I gotta think about what to sing. I don't even know what to sing. I'm
gonna sing one of your songs. I'm gonna sing Silly.
God. Okay. A little bit. Silly for me to think that I could ever have you for my guy. How I love you. How I want you. Silly of me to think that you could ever really want me to. How I love you. You're just a lover to score, and I know that I should be looking for more. What could it be in you I see? What could it be? Oh, love, oh, love, stop making a fool of me.
Ooh, it's rap.
I'm out for my music. Y'all buy my music when it comes out, because I'm coming back, all right?
Listen, you're out Listen, how about this? Whenever you out and you want to do a music video, I'm here to help you direct that video, okay? Yeah. When they come on, it's time to get these visuals. It's time you want to get it right with the dancing. We're going to get you right, Terrell.
Yes.
Listen, and we're here to support you. Listen, she's coming back in movies, music, and everything better. We happy to see you. Thank you for coming.
Love y'all. Take care of yourselves in this COVID. Be safe. It's safe.
Yes. Thank you so much. We'll see
all right.
You. All right.
Thank you, Jersey. Bye.
All right, y'all. So that was Miss Terrell Hicks. Come on, y'all know her from Belly, Bronx Tale, This Time. That's her album, okay? This is how much stuff she's done, okay? So she's coming back. That was everything, y'all. I'm inspired. Thank y'all for tuning in to Black Culture to Breakdown. I'm tired now. It's time for me to pack it up. How's the comments feeling, though? Everybody, how we feeling? Bro, fire. Yo, it was completely fire. But I am tired. It's time to pack it up. But Belly is definitely a classic. You gotta see it. Check out her music. I'm gonna get her in Lotus. She's gonna do a masterclass. Lexi Damita, you gotta pull up to the masterclass. All right. Courtney, thank you, man. And I see you doing your thing too, bro. I'm proud of you too. Corey, bro, I definitely had to get you to tell her the project. I'm gonna send it to her. Thank you for even thank all y'all for tuning in. You understand? This only happens because of y'all. People only want to come on the show, and the people only rock out with me on the show because of y'all. So appreciate y'all for even bringing the energy, commenting, and doing all of that. The Hicks family is on. Hicks family is definitely on. Thank y'all so much for supporting your girl, Terrell, and just being on here, giving us that energy. Son, you still on here? He's talking about, what you got going on next, JP? But all right, I am tired. That is Miss Terrell Hicks, and she's everything that we wanted to hear and more. Go check her out. She's all over the place.